My name is Riley McAlpine, and I am 13 years old. Today is April 12th, 2019, and I'm speaking with Kay Nguyen, who is my family friend. We are recording this interview in my house. So, from what I've learned is that you have immigrated here from Laos, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Do you know why you immigrated from Laos to the U.S.?
My family immigrated to the United States after the war, the Vietnam War. My dad was a pilot in the war. He was involved in the secret war where the U.S. didn't want to be involved yet in the Vietnam War. So they sent CIA agents over to recruit the Laotian people that were living up in the mountains because they were familiar with the terrains, to sneak supplies and kind of survey Vietnam because Laos and Vietnam are neighbors. Mm-hmm. Then they recruited my dad to be a pilot, so he basically flew supplies and ammunition and whatever the United States needed. So then after the war, the Laotian people and the Vietnamese people, they were killing whole families that was involved in the war. So then my family on foot went from Laos over to a refugee camp in Thailand, where we stayed for 5 years. I was just an infant, so I don't remember much. But I do remember growing up in the refugee camp, being surrounded with a lot of families, and they were all good memories. But yes, the reason we immigrated to the United States is because we were seeking freedom from being persecuted from the Vietnamese people.
Okay.
So I came here in 1979, the end of 1979. So I was roughly about 4 years old.
Okay, and do you remember a lot of what happened then?
I remember a lot of good memories, like I said. I remember the plane ride here. I remember getting to Chicago, being super, super cold, and they were handing out coats for everyone, which I thought was like the best thing ever. I remember not liking the food on the airplane. Just fragments, you know, memories.
Okay. Do you still have family members in Laos?
No. We were fortunate enough that my whole family got sponsored by a church in Groziel, Michigan. And they sponsored my whole family over here, so we all came together, which was a relief because a lot of my extended families, they were all separated. They each came separately, so we were very fortunate that we came as a family.
Okay. And as I know, you did marry. And I was just wondering, what was your maiden name before you married?
My maiden name was Lee, which is very easy compared to my married name. So.
Okay. So tell me about the person who has the greatest influence on your life and what lessons did he or she teach you?
I would say the greatest person that has influenced my life would be my mom. She is all about family. She's an only child. So ever since I was little, she's always stressed family is first. She had 7 of us. So she didn't want a small family because she was the only child. She wanted a very big family. So she had 7 children. And she's always stressed, you know, family first. So I learned a lot from her, where you put your family first.
Mm-hmm. I heard that your mom had 7 kids. Were you one of those 7 or were you the 8th?
I'm 6 of 7.
Okay.
So I'm the second youngest.
Okay. Would you mind sharing some of your earliest childhood memories?
Some of the earliest childhood memories that I could remember was from just from the refugee camp in Bangkok, Thailand. I just remember playing in the courtyard with a lot of cousins, extended, you know, relatives, playing in the jungle, making mud pies, catching tadpoles, and then in the evening, just having large family dinners and sitting by the campfire. I mean, it was nothing glamorous, you know, it was dirt floors, wooden roof, if that, bunk beds, you know, sometimes sleeping on the floor, but that all didn't really matter because, you know, we were surrounded by families that, you know, there was, you know, and it's just always food at the table. So, yeah, I mean, those were great memories.
Yeah, so did you go to the refugee camps or were you just seeing other people?
No, we were actually living in the refugee camp because we didn't want to go back to Laos because, like I said, they were persecuting and killing families that were involved in the Vietnam War. So then we had to stay in Thailand.
Okay. All right. Are you willing to share a happy or sad memory?
I would say one of the saddest memory that I could recall while in the refugee camp was I was playing with this one girl. I don't remember her name. I still vaguely remember her face, playing, you know, having a great time. And then all of a sudden she was no longer playing. So I went to her house. She was sick in bed and her mom and dad was, you know, telling me, oh, she's sick, she can't play today. You know, you gotta come back tomorrow. And then she died that evening. So that was one of the saddest memory that I would take away from living in the refugee camp.
Okay, did you know anybody there who else died that you hung out with a lot or?
No, she was a very good friend and we played together all the time. I don't remember her name right now. I could kind of see her face, but it was just, you know, and as a child, you don't really understand the scope of death. Mm-hmm. So one day she was here, one day she wasn't. So it was just, it was just a very strange feeling. And to this day, I still remember it.
Okay. Where were your ancestors born?
They were all in Laos. We lived up in the mountains. Like I said, it's an agricultural community. So you pretty much live and die by what you can grow and what you can hunt. So a lot of extended families were around, lots of aunts and uncles. And because it was an agricultural community, you know, people tend to have children to help them out in the field. So, you know, it was just one of those things where, you know, it was just a norm and it was just, you know, as a kid, just remember playing and running and, you know, being involved in household chores and that kind of things that my children would never have any idea of.
Yeah. I remember you saying you had a big family. Did you, like, from in your household, did you have like a bigger amount of family that lived in Laos that also immigrated to the United States but went somewhere else?
Yes, my dad was, my dad had two other brothers. My dad is the oldest in the family, so he basically took care of two brothers and three sisters. So, you know, when his mom remarried, because my grandfather died pretty early, so then my grandmother remarried. So when she remarried, because her children were older, she left my dad to raise all of his siblings. So my dad was, you know, he had to grow up really fast. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of responsibilities on his shoulders. And, you know, it wasn't until I was older that I understood the magnitude of his responsibilities. So he pretty much took care of, you know, all his siblings and everyone. So then when we immigrated to the United States, his younger brother managed to get into the United States, but his other brother ended up in Australia because the U.S. Could no longer take in refugee. So then he could only go to Australia. So, you know, that was very difficult for my dad to not keep his family together. And then, but all of his sisters made it to the United States. It's just one brother that ended up in Australia.
Okay. Is he still in Australia today?
Yes, his children and wife, they're still, he's since passed. But yes, his wife and children are still in Australia.
Okay. So what are your favorite family holidays that you celebrate?
We celebrate, you know, the American holidays of, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas. But I would probably have to say Thanksgiving would be my favorite holiday, only because, you know, we get everyone together, everyone comes together, and it's growing up, food is central in our, you know, everything. So just eating and talking and catching up, and now with all of my nieces and nephews, you know, getting married and having children of their own, it's just nice to catch up. And, you know, because, you know, everyday life gets busy, so you don't see people that often. So it's nice when, you know, Thanksgiving comes around and we can stop and make the effort to meet up and catch up. So I would have to say Thanksgiving would be my favorite holiday.
Mm-hmm. So, like you said, you celebrate all like the American holidays, like Christmas, Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. 4th of July and stuff. Would you have any like fun family memories from those times, or like in any time in general?
Like I said, growing up, it was just all about, it was all centered, you know, around food and family. Growing up, I never, my parents were pretty strict, so I was never allowed to have friends. But I never really miss out on not having friends, because I've always had cousins, mm-hmm. lots and lots of cousins. So, you know, I remember just spending weekends at my cousin's house, and they would come over, and then holidays, it was just cooking all day and just playing all day and just eating, and a lot of fun memories. It was just, you know, family gatherings, just a lot of extended families. Because my dad, like I said, he's, and my you know, and my mom too, they're very family focused. So every holiday, it's I mean, I have so many aunts and uncles that they're not really aunts and uncle, but you just call them aunts and uncle, because, you know, there's no other terms that you could use for them. So it's just a lot of eating, a lot of playing, a lot of good memories. And so growing up, you know, it wasn't until I got into high school that I realized I really didn't have any friends, because I really didn't need any friends, because I always had cousins around that would do everything with me. So, mm-hmm. you know, it kept me out of trouble.
Yeah. Would you mind telling me about your parents?
Yeah, my like I said, my dad was the oldest in the family. He took mm-hmm. on a lot of responsibilities. His dad died young, so he never really got to know his dad. My mom was an only child. Her mom died really young, so I never really knew my my grandmother. But, you know, they grew up in, you know, life was hard for them. You know, they had nothing. They had to, you know, survive by whatever they can grow or hunt. And it was hard, but, you know, that's why family was so vital to their survival. And they've always stressed on us, you know, family's everything. So that's my one takeaway from my parents that I would have to give them a lot of credit for.
Mm-hmm. And you said that your parents hunted. Do they, Did they hunt a lot? Or?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they would, you know, try to, they would hunt, they would, you know, grow rice and vegetables, and that was just everyday life. You know, you get up, you work the fields, you feed your family, you know, there was no, it wasn't an industrialized country where, you know, they have an outside job that they have to go to. You just get up, you hunt, you grow your vegetables, you eat, you know, you try to store away supplies. So it was a lot of, you know, it's a hard existence, but you know what, they made it work.
Mm-hmm. So since you told me where you grew up and what your childhood was like, basically like an everyday repeating cycle, mm-hmm. How was school for you? Did you like it?
I did not like school because when we immigrated here, my parents, they knew enough English to kind of get by, but, you know, they were not able to help me with homework. They were not able to go to any parent-teacher conferences. So I pretty much kind of figured out everything by myself. So if I needed help with homework, I would go to my sister or brothers. Parent-teacher conferences, they were never present. But then again, I'm like, I didn't know what parent-teacher conference was, and why mm-hmm. would you need to talk to my parents? So most times, if they really wanted to talk to my mom, I would have to go and translate for her. So it was difficult because, you know, they didn't speak the language. So, you know, growing up, I just never really liked school. But then I think now as I'm older, it made me a better person because I had to figure everything out for myself, what I wanted to do and what I needed out of school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can definitely see how that would impact the future of somebody's life.
Right, whether... because like with my children now, I'm emailing teachers, I'm, you know, checking up on their grades, you know, and I'm on top of them, and you know, it's so for them, it's like now I have to kind of tell them, okay, you need to do this, you need to do that. Whereas for me, I had to figure it out myself, and it was a, you know, so I just never really cared for school because, you know, my parents, they always stress, you know, get a good education, you got to go to school, you got to get a good job. They did stress all that, but, you know, they didn't know how to get me there. They just, this is kind of like a blanket statement where you need a good education, but it's like they didn't provide the steps for me to get there.
Mm-hmm. Is there a teacher or an adult that impacted your life?
I would have to say I have great memories of my second grade teacher. She was very into fitness, so I remember her picking her favorite student, and then you would get to have lunch with her, and then she would take you into the gym, or you know, you would eat lunch in her classroom, and you know, just kind of after lunch, just kind of work out with her. She would always try to motivate her students by singling them out for, you know, a special lunch date with her. And then definitely into high school, where as I got older, I had great teachers that would kind of direct me into, oh, you should, you know, go to this college, or you should do this, you should do that. So, you know, I've had some really good teachers over the years. And, you know, I think teachers are, you know, great people. And even some of my children, I mean, they've, you know, I always tell my children's teachers, you know, they make such an impact on children's lives, and, you know, with their motivation, and it's they make a difference.
Yeah. What jobs did you have when you were a teenager?
I had a waitressing job for one summer, and after that waitressing job, I vowed never to wait, be a waitress again. It wasn't hard, but I just don't like pleasing people. So after that job, I'm like, I'm never gonna waitress again. So, you know, I worked various jobs. I worked at a little kiosk at a flea market. I worked at a Chinese carryout restaurant, taking orders, packing orders. When I was in college, I did an internship working at a youth home where they were court ordered to be there for whatever many months the judge decided they needed. So, you know, it's just jobs here and there. And, mm-hmm. you know, they've all had an impact on, and it helped shape me and help me with my work ethics.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a nickname?
Actually, my name Kay is actually a nickname. My real name is Micah, but I had growing up, my best friend and I, we had the same names. So then my sister thought it would be cute to call us K Square because we were always together. So then she nicknamed me K, and then it just kind of stuck, and then everyone started calling me K, and then when I became a US citizen, I changed my name legally to K because everybody already knew me by my nickname. So yes, K is actually my nickname.
Okay, well, I did not know that. Has your life been different from when you were a teenager at all?
Oh, totally different. You know, growing up, we didn't have much, but my parents worked really, really hard to, you know, get us all the essentials that we need. I mean, we didn't have any money extra, you know, any extra money for vacations or but we grew up never having to, you know, we had all the essentials. That's, you know, but it taught me, I mean, I guess because, like I said, I grew up surrounded with families and they were all in the same economic status as we were. So growing up, I never felt poor mm-hmm. because people that I surrounded myself with was in the same situation. So, you know, it wasn't important about that sneaker or, you know, the latest trend or the next purse or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was just, you know, growing up, it was just the norm. It wasn't until I was actually older that I realized how poor we were. But, you know, I mean, it didn't affect me. It just made me a better person to realize it, that, you know what, I am mm-hmm. fortunate now. And, you know, I worked hard for, you know, for what I have now. So mm-hmm. yeah, I appreciate, you know, what I have, and it's not, and I try to teach my children, it's not about what other people have. And if other people have more, you congratulate them and you be happy for them. And it's about finding happiness in what you already have and not what other people have. Mm-hmm. So I hope that lesson will stick with my children.
Yeah. How did you meet your husband?
I met him while I was actually working at the Chinese carryout. It was a summer job in my sophomore year, mm-hmm. and he was working there also in the summer, and we kind of met up there, and and then started dating, and the rest is history.
Would you mind telling me about your wedding day?
We actually did not have a wedding. We got married at the Justice of the Peace because we were young. I was 19, he was 21. So we were really young, but then culturally it's acceptable because culturally I cannot move out of my parents' house until I get married. So you know, it was just one of those things where, all right, I'm ready to move out. And so we decided, okay, you know, to be adults and get married. So my mom was at the courthouse, and so was his mom, to witness. And then it was really quick. Justice of the Peace performed a small ceremony, and of course our parents wanted us to have a big wedding and all that, but it just got to be too complicated and too costly, because, you know, we speak different languages, and the logistics of it was just, it's just gonna be, you know, too much. So we decided not to have a wedding, and to save the money that we were going to put forth into the wedding as a down payment for our first house. So we became homeowners at the age of 23. So, you know, we've made a good decision in, you know, not having a wedding. And to this day, I do not regret not having a wedding. That's one thing that I've never regretted.
Okay. So, you said that his family and your family spoke different languages.
Yes.
Do you know what language he spoke?
He is from Vietnam. So he speaks Vietnamese. Mm-hmm. And that was a very, very sore point with my parents when we first started dating.
Mm-hmm.
Is because his dad was fighting in the war. My dad was fighting in the war. So then when my dad found out that I was dating a Vietnamese guy, mm-hmm. he was not happy, because he was like, why would you want to date someone that I've risked my life and limb to fight against? So anyway, long story short, and it was just, you know, it was just because my parents didn't know him yet. But mm-hmm. once they met him and realized what type of person he is, you know, it was fine. But it was a rough go at first, because we didn't really, once we got married, we moved out of the house. He moved out of, you know, his parents' house. I moved out of my parents' house. We, you know, then we got married and we lived together, and we really didn't speak to our families for 2 years. Because they were not willing to accept that, all right, we married outside of our culture.
Mm,
but
okay.
After that 2 year, you know, it was fine. And then now everything's awesome.
What job do you currently have?
I am a homemaker right now. Previously, before I decided to stay home with my children, I was a health and welfare consultant. So what that means is I worked for a consulting firm, and I did all of the open enrollment website for Ford, GM, Visteon, Delphi. So I worked with a group of communicators and web designers to help build the open enrollment website for their employees. I made sure that all of the pension calculators were working properly. I had to go and recruit college students from various colleges around here. Mm-hmm. And we would sit down and just come up with test cases. Maybe depending, for example, like GM, I would come up with 3,000 test cases. Every possible test case that an employee of GM might come across. Say, for example, an employee with a last name with 13 characters, to make sure that it displays correctly once the website is up and running. Or an employee that would have 13 children, making sure that there's enough space on the webpage to accommodate all that. Making sure that the pension calculator was calculating the pension correctly. Making sure that all of the insurance companies that they're eligible for displays correctly. So it gets really tricky when you have GM is, you know, very large corporation. with employees all around the world. So making sure that, you know, if you live in this state, that all of the insurance companies that you're eligible for display. So it was very time consuming. It was, you know, long hours. Mm-hmm. So when I got pregnant with twins, it was a hard decision for me to go back to work or to stay home with them. Mm-hmm. But with three children, and then my husband traveling all the time, we made a decision that I should stay home and be a constant, you know, someone needed to stay home with these kids because, you know, my husband is always traveling. At a moment's notice, I never know what his schedule is going to be like or when he's going to be home, when he's going to be gone. So so that's why I decided to be a stay-at-home mom with the children.
Were you happy about becoming a stay-at-home mom, or were you just...
I did a lot of research. I asked a lot. It was not a easy decision. I asked a lot of my working friends. I asked a lot of stay-at-home moms and, you know, try to get their perspective on it. And, you know, after talking to a lot of moms, I decided that this was what was best for me and my family at the time. And I don't regret my decision, because one thing that one of my friends, a stay-at-home mom, said to me that kind of stuck with me is, you can always find a job later when the kids are in school, but you may not be able to go back to your same job, but there will always be a job. So, And you never get those years that you miss away, you know, back from your children. So that really stuck with me. And, you know, and it's true, you can never get back those, you know, toddler years or those infant years, but I can always find a job. It won't necessarily pay as much, but you know, it's fine.
It'll be a job.
Yes.
All right. Maybe a few more questions. When you were growing up, I know we were talking a lot about when we were growing up and stuff, but what was your religion, and what was your role in it? Or
growing up, there wasn't much to do because my parents are always working. Mm-hmm. I had older siblings, but they were always busy doing their thing. So growing up, church was a big deal. We would go to church 3 days a week. We would have a van that would pick us up. So we were always highly involved in the church. I think it was a Baptist church, but it didn't matter what denomination. We just enjoy going to church, going on field trip. So religion played a big role for me. Then when I married my husband, who was Catholic, I baptized all of my children Catholic. And once they were old enough, I went through the conversion process at the Catholic Church. So now I am Catholic with my children and my husband. And religion, you know, we may not go to church every Sunday, but as a family, or even myself, I'm more spiritual rather than religious. We try to go on, you know, we do go to Sunday Mass, but not religiously, like not every week. So yes, religion, you know, and I want to give my children some type of faith that they believe in, and then when they're old enough, they can pick and choose if they want to stay Catholic or if they want to go non-denominational and, you know, join Kensington, or, you know, to me, it doesn't matter what denomination, just as long as you have some type of faith that you want to believe in.
Mm-hmm. So I remember hearing you say that you were going to church constantly throughout the week. Mm-hmm. Was your family Orthodox Christian, or were you just...
I want to say it was a Baptist church. So growing up, I would say I grew up a Baptist. You know, I grew up Baptist, and you know, it was just
way of getting out of the house and playing with my cousins. Like I said, we don't get out of our community. So it's cousins everywhere, aunts, uncles, and mm-hmm. my parents were always working, so they could never be involved with us. So it was a lot of, it was a lot of church activities.
All right. Well, thank you so much for speaking with me and answering all of my questions.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It was nice talking to you.